Welcome to St James, a Scottish Episcopal Church in Leith. This podcast is an edited recording from our Sunday morning service held on March 17th, 2024. For news and information and to find out how to join us, please visit stjamesleith.org.uk.
This morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 20 to 33. It's quite long, so if it's hard for you to stand, do feel free to sit down. Now, among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, and then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I've come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven. "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. This is the gospel, good news for all.
We bless you, Lord, for your word, how you wish to speak with us and to us. And we depend upon you and your spirit to make your word live in our hearts. Amen. In our services, as Joe has led, and in our gospel reading, we have a foreshadowing of the passion of Good Friday. For so long, Jesus has been saying, "My time is not yet come." And now suddenly, after the raising of Lazarus and the arrival of Gentiles, the Greeks, it comes out, "My time has come." But for that, I would like to focus on a single saying at the heart of our reading today from John's Gospel. So let's see if we can get some slides going. Slide number. I can do that too. I'm supposed to be doing that, yeah. There we go. Can't just look over at Roy here, who's very kindly stepped in. At the heart of our reading, "Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." Now, clearly Jesus is not giving a lesson in horticulture, but calling up a rich image or metaphor. Some have even called it a parable. The designation is not important. But rather the way it speaks of profound truths of human life and the spiritual journey. He is speaking of his own death, which is suddenly being revealed at this point in John's narrative, and he goes on to describe the promise, the nature of being one of his disciples or followers. And so much more is contained here. It has inspired 1,000 sermons. And do you know, as a preacher reflecting on this today, I'm caught between the expectation that I will attempt to break this open and offer up food for the listener, and the worry that breaking it down or distilling fine truths from these words robs the listener of the joy and the challenge of wrestling with it themselves. And as it is a metaphor, a parable, if you like, I do not want to close it down with one meaning and interpretation while basically attempting a fine and clever essay. So I have chosen to do what has been called faceting. Faceting is treating the scriptural passage like a polished jewel that can be turned this way and that to glimpse the light, always looking at the same jewel but turning it to study different facets. And I'd like to do that with the help of poets and writers and playwrights. Now, so often this passage is interpreted at the level of dying to self in the form of courageously undertaking true servant tasks of mission and greater or lesser degrees of personal cost. So for instance, may I recommend a film playing right now called Cabrini. Anybody seen Cabrini yet? Oh, you must go. It's on at the cinemas at the moment. It's about Mother Frances Xavier Cabrini, an Italian immigrant missionary to the USA at the end of the 19th century. And she's credited with creating 67 institutions, including orphanages, schools, and hospitals, as well as becoming the first U.S. citizen to be named a saint by the Roman Catholic Church. It's an incredible film about a bold and courageous woman of faith whose life was a succession of little deaths, challenges, setbacks, and yet through whose efforts were created orphanages, schools, hospitals, saving and enhancing countless lives in the U.S. and across the world. This is illustrated in so many stories of martyrs. You've heard of one of Maximilian Kolb. Maximilian Kolb in World War II, a Polish Franciscan friar imprisoned in Auschwitz. And when a fellow prisoner was selected to die, in retaliation for an escape attempt, Cole volunteered to take his place. And he spent his final days comforting and praying with his fellow prisoners before ultimately giving his life in a sacrificial act of love. Or the story of the 9/11 Ground Zero chaplain, Father Michael Judge on September the 11th, 2001, a Franciscan friar and New York City Fire Department chaplain, he rushed to the World Trade Center to offer spiritual support, and he lost his life while administering the last rites to a fallen firefighter. Of course, it's not just saints who mirror Christ's saving act in sacrificial acts of Christian love. It's also many carers whose earlier dreams have been derailed by the unavoidable responsibility of looking after a family member. It's the whistleblower whose job prospects are trashed by their inability to keep silent. It's those who decide not to play the game of corporate hustle and success to earn and spend and acquire, embracing instead a life on the margins of society, joining with and perhaps serving those who are likewise marginalized. Personal sacrifice for the sake of others has been inspired and summarized by our jewel, unless a grain falls into the earth and dies. Another facet of our jewel comes from a friend of Richard Rohr, fellow Franciscan Sister Ilia Delio. She writes about this idea of dying with Christ. God is radically involved with the world, but God is unable to bring about this fullness without the cooperation of humans. Human and divine cannot co-create unto the fullness of life without death as an integral part of life. Isolated, independent existence must be given up in order to enter into broader and potentially deeper levels of existence. I picked up Judith from Durham this week at the end of her final week there, and we drove into the Pennines, which are, of course, really lovely and so good for people who can't get to the Scottish Highlands. And we attempted a very wet and muddy walk across the fields, trying and mostly failing to stay on the Pennine Way because I am so out of practice with the signage. And as we walked along an old railway cutting, there were fallen trees that had been left to rot. And in the tangle and the broken branches and the decaying wood were, I knew, innumerable life forms, animals, insects, fungi, processes that were only possible because of the rot and decay. Because the natural world knows and embraces death in its cycles. And in its way, it's far more reasonable about death than our fevered attempts to deny death's reality. We are so caught up in our isolated, independent existence, as Delio puts it. And yet, if we seek a contemplative's relationship with God, if we seek to share in the mysteries of Christ, well, all the mystics speak of letting go, of kinds of dying, in order, as Delio says, to enter into a broader and potentially deeper level of existence. And Richard Rohr puts it, true life comes only through many, many journeys of loss and regeneration, wherein we gradually learn who God is for us in a very experiential way. Letting go is the nature of all true spirituality and transformation, summed up in the phrase, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. We are moving into facets of this saying that call to mind actual death. And as we have been hearing a lot from Mary Oliver recently, I thought I would read a short poem of hers, When Death Comes. I hope you can see, but I hope you can hear. When death comes, like a hungry bear in autumn, when death comes and takes all the bright coins from his purse to buy me and snaps the purse shut, when death comes like the measles pox, when death comes like an iceberg between the shoulder blades, I want to step through the door full of curiosity, wondering, what is it going to be like, that cottage of darkness? And therefore, I look upon everything as a brotherhood and a sisterhood. And I look upon time as no more than an idea. And I consider eternity as another possibility. And I think of each life as a flower, as common as a field daisy and as singular. And each name a comfortable music in the mouth, tending, as all music does, towards silence. And each body a lion of courage and something precious to the earth. And when it's over, I want to say, all my life I was a bride married to amazement. I was the bridegroom taking the world into my arms. And when it's over, I don't want to wonder if I have made of my life something particular and real. I don't want to find myself sighing and frightened or full of argument. I don't want to end up simply having visited this world. At the beginning of her poem, she is brutally honest about the approach of death, like the measles pox, like an iceberg between the shoulder blades. And it doesn't do for us to deny how death spreads its dark shadow over everything. As an American pastor, Rich Lusk, wrote, death surrounds us. Death makes time an enemy because we eventually run out of it. Death brings grief and heartache and pain. Death fills us with worry and dread. And death means suffering and agony physically and emotionally. And death separates soul from body, husband from wife, friend from friend, parent from child, brother from sister. Death divides what God had once joined together. Death rips and tears and breaks. Death is a cruel monster that tyrannizes us all. And yet we Christians persist in hope and a belief that death will not have the last word. Keeping with poets, George Herbert captures the theme of death as a powerful but defeated foe in his dialogue anthem, written as a conversation between death and a Christian. Christian says, alas, poor death. And you may be lucky enough to have these poems on a sheet with you. The reverse side of the Mary Oliver. Christian says, alas, poor death, where is thy glory? Where is thy famous force, thy ancient sting? Alas, poor mortal, void of story. Go spell and read how I have killed thy king. Poor death, and who was hurt thereby? Thy curse, being laid on him, makes thee accursed. Oh, let losers talk, yet thou shalt die. These arms shall crush thee. Spare not. Do thy worst. I shall one day be better than before. Thou, so much worse. That thou shall be no more. Some of you saw Justin Butcher's play last summer in the festival Fringe, The Devil's Passion, in which the devil, who has been plotting to get rid of the man Jesus, realizes with despair that in the end, in the death of Christ, he scored a spectacular own goal. Death was once our mortal foe, and it is precisely through the death of Christ, in a cosmic transaction, I believe, but admit, I cannot explain, that death has become a friend who delivers us into the glorious presence of our Heavenly Father. Or as Herbert put it elsewhere, death used to be an executioner, but the gospel has made him just a gardener. Death used to be an executioner, but the gospel has made him just a gardener. This is in no way to underplay the effects of death, the cruel monster that Rich Lusk described earlier. Yet, sometimes the simplest images can give hope in the bleakest situations. Just to finish, I'd like to play you a clip from the BBC series Rev. One of the first television vicars who, amidst the comedy, had both a soul and a sense of suffering. Played, of course, by Tom Hollander. That's not Spidey, by the way, Tom Holland. Tom Hollander, struggling with an inner-city parish, a failing marriage, and in this episode, his church school, where he has to lead the assembly following the sudden death of a very popular and much-loved member of staff. And he comforts the children with a version of the story of water bugs and dragonflies.
It's very difficult to know what to say at times like this. We won't be seeing Mr. Feld again here, because Matthew's gone somewhere else now. Matthew didn't believe in heaven, but I do. I don't know what it is, but I do know a story that gives me an idea. It's a story about a lot of little bugs that lived at the bottom of a river, and every now and then one of the bugs would crawl up a plant through the water into the light, and he'd never be seen again by his friends. And one day, one special little bug felt that he wanted to crawl up the plant too. So he did. He crawled up the plant, through the water, into the light. And he turned into an amazing, colourful dragonfly. And he flew around the air. And he was the happiest he'd ever been. But when he tried to fly back down into the water to tell his bug friends how wonderful it was, he found he couldn't. He couldn't get down into the water anymore because he wasn't a bug anymore. He was a dragonfly. And this upset him until he remembered that one day all his friends would crawl up the plant too and join him in the sun.
So where have we been? We've looked at saints and martyrs dying to self in sacrificial ways. We've looked at the deeper life that's found through contemplation that takes us through the death of smaller selves. We've heard from poets Mary Oliver and George Herbert. We've had a children's fable. And we have, I hope, above all, affirmed our belief that somehow in the death of the man Jesus, death itself has been robbed of its crushing hopelessness. The gospel is the good news that assures us that death does not have the last word. And this gospel leads us to lives of love that fly in the face of death. And so I'll finish with our jewel, but in the words of the Message translation. Listen carefully. Unless a grain of wheat is buried in the ground, dead to the world, it is never any more than a grain of wheat. But if it is buried, it sprouts and reproduces itself many times over. In the same way, anyone who holds on to life, just as it is, destroys that life. But if you let it go, reckless in your love, you'll have it forever, real and eternal. May God bless our hearing of his word. Amen.
We live in a world where it seems everywhere we look, we see death. Death brought about by war, human greed, an unquenchable desire for riches, a terrible and cruel drive to annihilate another race. We hear of those who've been killed because they did their best to stand against injustice and tyranny. We hear of those who've lost their lives because of famine or climate change. Climate change that's been caused by others who refuse to give up financial gain. There is a Leonard Cohen song called The Faith, and the refrain is, "So many graves to fill. Oh, love, aren't you tired yet?" Over every grave, the love of God hovers, and God weeps over every lost life. Our God will never tire. Let us never tire of praying. When I say, "May love prevail," could you please repeat, "May love prevail"? May love prevail. May love prevail. We pray for Israel and Gaza. We pray that there will be an end to the conflict, an end to the killing. We ask God that those who kill with bombs and guns will be filled with compassion, that they will see the children suffering and will repent and be changed. May love prevail. May love prevail. We pray for peace in Ukraine, so many lives lost, so many now struggling with famine and poverty. We pray for peace. We pray that the powerful will be humbled and brought low. We pray that those in power will see the children suffering, will repent and be changed. May love prevail. May love prevail. We pray for all those places around the world where those who oppose unjust governments are killed and imprisoned. We especially remember this morning Iran, where those have been tortured and killed for protesting peacefully against oppression. We pray this morning that those in power will see the women suffering and will repent and be changed. May love prevail. May love prevail. We pray for all those who suffer and who are dying because the earth heats up and weather changes. We pray for the people of Brazil, where warm weather is causing an increase in fever spread by mosquitoes. We pray for those who have the power to stop the use of fossil fuels, that they will see the children suffering from an overheated world and will repent and will be changed. May love prevail. May love prevail. We remember the thousands of refugees who've lost their lives trying to escape famine and persecution. We pray right now for those who are traveling on land and on sea, facing danger, and yet know that they have to keep traveling. Please, God, keep them safe. May those who control borders see the children suffering and repent and be changed. May love prevail. May love prevail. Remember those in our own country who suffer from ill health because of poor housing or too little money to pay for good food. We pray for those who have the power to change wages and housing conditions and health care and education, that they will see the children struggling and will repent and be changed. May love prevail. May love prevail. We pray for all those who are persecuted because of their faith, those who live every day in fear of losing their lives. May love prevail. May love prevail. And to finish, let's spend a few moments in silence, listening to the Spirit speak to each of us, filling us with compassion for those who today are in danger of death. So many graves to fill. Oh, love, aren't you tired yet? Over every grave, the love of God hovers, and God weeps over every lost life. But our God will never tire. Let us never tire of praying. Amen.
Of our brothers and sisters, we do also for you. Give us the will to be the servant of others as you were the servant of all and gave up your life and died for us, but are now alive and reign now and forever. Amen. May the love of God surround you, the passion of Jesus inspire you, and the wisdom of the Spirit guide your thoughts and actions. Amen.